Praise the Lord. It's really good to be here. Good to make it across the border without any problems. We are thankful for y'all that came out, and for everybody at home. I know that a lot of people, including my mom, is there, and we're just so thankful to this church. We're thankful for this conference this year. Every year it seems to come up like really fast, but at the same time it just always feels right at the right moment. So I'm thankful tonight. I want to thank you for your prayers for our ministry all these years, for your offerings all these years. I just want to thank the Lord. He's been good. This past year, obviously it's been, most recently it's been very different, just like y'all here. Thank the Lord we've been able to continue our meetings because we have a smaller group in Puebla, but some of our plans have been a little postponed for the new work that we, Lord willing, hope to start on the other side of Puebla. But for right now, we're still working with the brethren there in the south side. And this past year, there's been something in the forefront of my mind because of what the different areas that we've been ministering there. But God used that to impress something different upon my heart, and I just wanted to share that today. Part of our recent ministering in Puebla has been in the church dealing with some marriage problems among the couples, different things, some a little bit more petty and some very serious. Has seemed to been like I said in the forefront of my mind because it's just been very constant this last year. And just thinking about the word reconciliation, part of meeting with people and as John and I meet and sit with the couple and try to hear, you know, both sides, and it's really difficult to promote reconciliation in a strained marriage. It's difficult to promote because it involves two parties, each with fault, two parties that need to examine and consider and repent of their own fault. And reconciliation between any two parties is difficult. Even Proverbs says, Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Even when there is a clear major offender, it's hard to win back that person that's been offended. Bitterness and pride come into play, even on the person that hasn't been offended and hasn't done much offending. And like I said, this has been a big part of our ministry this past year. And in the midst of the frustration and the helplessness that sometimes I would feel, we'd come home and we'd just kind of look at each other and be like, wow. We don't even know what to say to each other sometimes. And all we can do is pray. And I do ask for your prayers. They're much needed, much appreciated. Because I believe the enemy, I think the devil is gonna try to attack, the church any way that he can. And we have had such a good year in so many other areas of that church there. Seeing growth and seeing zeal and opportunity. And so I do ask for your prayers for the marriages there. But in the midst of all this, the Lord just pressed upon my heart 2 Corinthians 5 regarding his ministry of reconciliation and the gloriously unique reconciliation ministry that is the gospel. I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 5 verses 18 through 21. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. This reconciliation, this gospel is unique because, well, first of all, there's only one party that has fault. There's only one offender. We know that Romans says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one out there that hasn't offended God. And yet there's only also one sole remedy to satisfy that offended party, which is God. There's only one remedy. And yet the offender himself is incapable of fulfilling that remedy. Because as the Bible tells us, we're enemies of God until we have been reconciled to him. But the good news, the actual great news, is that the sole offending part, the offended party, God himself, who's completely faultless, he has himself provided and fulfilled the remedy. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, where we just read it, said, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them.
Thank you, Lord.
Romans 5:10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son.
Thank you, Lord.
Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. This, to me, is a reconciliation story like no other. It's unfathomable. Unfathomable. Inconceivable. This reconciliation is truly unique. It's exclusive. And the other thing that is impressed upon me by these verses and just comparing it to trying to reconcile two parties on earth, whether it be a marriage, a friendship, reconciliation is desired by and pursued by God, the offended party, even towards the offending party that despise him or ignore him. In Romans, if you could look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4, this verse has been on my heart as well as I was just considering the gospel of reconciliation. In Romans 2, 4, it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It is amazing to me to consider his goodness, his forbearance, his longsuffering is actually designed to lead offenders to repentance. This is a rich and precious, rare reconciliation story. The riches of his goodness. And it's not just so you know he's rich in goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, but there is something that, and a goal that he has with that. It's, he wants to lead people to repentance. And so the very one that has been offended is desiring, promoting, provoking, pursuing reconciliation. Not needing to. He has no need for reconciliation with us. He has been offended, and there is nothing that he can gain by reconciling with us. He has nothing to say he's sorry for, but yet he pursues.
Thank you, Lord.
In Ecclesiastes 8:11, it says, talking about the despisers and considering, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Many times I believe that people despise the gospel, or we could even call it that they overlook it, they ignore it. They're not discerning God's goodness the way they should be. They believe, just like I think in this verse points out, they don't see execution speedily. They don't see God's judgment swiftly. And so they're just fully set to continue doing evil. But his pursuit of reconciliation, praise the Lord, is not dependent on mutual interest. Like many times in a marriage, reconciling, you kind of need both parties to at least want to try to reconcile. But praise the Lord, it's dependent on his character. He is good. He is forbearing. He is long-suffering. And his desire to see all come to repentance is part of the reason that he pursues it. And the last thing I just want to thank the Lord for, which is, again, is amazing, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The last thing that just blows my mind about this reconciliation is that God allows, and he actually desires, that the reconciled offenders take part now in his ministry of reconciliation. It says in verse 20, he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We have been committed with the ministry to beseech the despisers, the overlookers, the undiscerning, And we're beseeching them to just consider and examine the merciful goodness that God is showing them and make them aware of the reality that the reconciliation is an urgent necessity that they have, and it is available. The last verse that I want to read is in Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Praise the Lord Jesus that this reconciliation story is so simple. It is clear cut. There is no doubt of who the offenders are and who the offended one is. And yet he has an offer. We have this story to present. And I'm so thankful that he's allowed me to have a part in that. I ask for your prayers. I ask that God would just move in a mighty way in Mexico. As we get ready to do another work, Lord willing, on the other side of town, I have to watch my heart, because as we were about a day before we were about to drive away, I said, I hate this country. And of course, it was different things that were happening, but I'm sorry. But and that verse that I've been considering popped in my head, despisest thou. I know it's talking about lost people, but wow, I need to be careful to not despise this open door that we have. Yeah. God still has us there. I'm thankful, and I'm so thankful for the reconciliation that is available through Christ for any who would call on him, because he is plenteous in mercy. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Turn to number 26.